talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, it's on today, the Exchange Club.
Hey, and away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. It is Friday, March the 8th, 2024, 13 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio as we are each and every Friday for the Exchange Club by Pastor Craig and Matt Morgan. And I should mention that, where's all my big rundown of mentions here? The Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast is tomorrow, and Matt and Carrington and I will be there as guest servers from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Mary Ellen will be there as the guest greeter from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. if you want to see her. 1 to 2 p.m., we will be doing a show live on stage with Mary Ellen and maybe some other guests. You never know at this point. So come out tomorrow for the Kiwanis Pancake Giveaway. We've done a ticket giveaway for the Kiwanis Breakfast. We have some people who are going to pick those tickets up. You have till 2 o'clock today. Thank the Marion Star for the nice article they ran regarding the Mary Ellen events. Gave the station a lot of publicity. Can't go wrong there. And our friend Abby is, I believe, already down in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center covering the event. And tonight we will have a live call-in after the first day of activities in regard with what happened today at the big wrestling championship down at the Schottenstein Center. Boy, Pastor, I'll tell you, we're moving along here in this at the station.
Yeah, we are. That wrestling tournament, is that like Bobo Brazil wrestling?
Oh, or belts at the end and all kinds of things. It's going to be a happening down there tonight. Body slams and all. Full Nelsons, hammerlocks.
Half Nelsons.
Half Nelsons. What do you think, Matt? A lot of stuff going on.
I think that the radio station always has a lot of stuff going on. I think that the pancake breakfast, but the
pancake breakfast tomorrow, that's always draws a big crowd.
I think it is an exciting time to be a part of the radio station.
Let's start right off the top here. Your interview at 10:15 this morning with Chase Oliver,
libertarian
candidate for president. I believe Pastor heard a bit of this. I heard a bit of this. And you did it. So let's start with you. What was your takeaway from the Chase Oliver interview? And then we'll give you our thoughts.
Takeaway as far as...
How do you feel it went?
Well, I think it went good. I mean, I think that the interview was overall... he did the typical politician thing and danced around a lot of questions, but... I mean, there's that.
Pastor?
It was interesting. This question about, do you think Donald Trump is going to be a dictator? And when people say yes, I just scratch my head and say, what do you mean dictator? I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, the guy has a track record. He was already president once. I don't know. For some reason, there seems to be this mentality about he's just going to come in and just do anything he wants and disregard, you know, Congress and disregard this and just do what he wants. And I don't. You could say the same thing about Biden. I mean, it's not.
I think Chase Oliver said that.
Yeah, it hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen.
Well, I guess I told Matt this in the hallway. So this is not like it's the first time he's hearing this. That I felt that man did not answer anything directly in that entire 15 minutes. And I don't like, as Pastor just said here, I don't like what he did with the dictator comment. You can ask the question. I think the question's fair.
Yeah.
I've asked the question of a lot of people. Matter of fact, the question is covered in the Marion Star article, if you want to read that. That's their opinion. When somebody answers the question, and listen, obviously people know I like Mary Ellen, but how she answered it is how you should answer it. If that's her opinion, fine, and she answered it. What he did was tried to make a joke of it and play both sides. I don't like that. And I don't like, conversely, I didn't like, he couldn't just say Biden gave a great speech, although he said that, he had to go, well, maybe he got his B12 shot. I don't like that. I think that makes you... You are a presidential candidate for the United States of America. Act like one.
Right.
So that's my beef with him.
Yep.
So that's it.
I mean...
Very valid criticisms.
That's all I got. That's all I got for him.
I mean, as far as the dictator question goes, I did ask it twice. The one time, I was like, maybe it just wasn't clear enough. So the second time, I did come back with, do you think that if Donald Trump...
I don't think he either didn't understand or didn't want to answer it.
Right. He wanted to say what he wanted to say.
I don't think that the first time, maybe possibly he misunderstood the question. But the second time, I don't think there was a doubt that he misunderstood the question. It was just, he dodged it.
Now, I think I did mention earlier that Matt and I got together tonight. We should have invited you, Pastor. I didn't.
You got together when?
We watched the State of the Union last night.
Oh, man.
I know. We he and I did not think until he got there that we should have invited other people to this little thing.
just make a note for yourself.
I will.
Pastor Craig does not own a TV.
You
don't own a TV.
And you know where I live.
I don't own a TV.
You know,
and you've been over?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's probably for the best. Yeah. Good for you.
No, but now, you know what? Because you could have brought the popcorn.
I'd have brought
had a whole thing.
I would have.
We're
going
to have to get together.
All
we're
right.
going to have to get together.
All
right. Yeah, it was going to be, I think, a waffle making night at some point.
Oh, with Row Waffles.
With Row Waffles. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll have to get everybody involved on that one. So let's go to the State of the Union.
Do we have a top 10?
We don't.
Oh.
Bob's still out on that.
Okay.
But there could be an Eclipse Day pizza. Oh. I'm hearing rumblings of this. I don't know what that would be. But
it's going to be a dark pizza.
That morning. Yeah, it's going to be a dark pizza. Maybe we'll have to pick the pizza up and pass it through the light or something. Eat it in the dark. We'll have to eat it in the dark.
All right.
State of the Union. Didn't watch it?
Didn't watch it.
Okay.
So I've only heard...
You've only heard what you heard.
News reports about it.
Now, Matt, we clearly watched it.
Yes.
The whole thing, bell to bell. Your takeaways from it?
I mean, I think that as far as the narrative that he... I guess... The narrative that the people like to push that he's a doddering old man was not supported by the speech. Now, whether or not that it was just the fact that, I mean, he could have just, like, rehearsed the speech a billion times, and at that point I would hope you get it down. But, I mean, he spoke fluently. He spoke fast. He had he had energy. There was some fervor there, so.
I think the big mistake that the Republicans made last night were... As you just said, and as Chase Oliver said, he gave a good speech. If you watch it bell to bell, he gave a good speech. He did not seem tired. He did not seem doddering. He took longer going in. I think he was the last one who left the room last night shaking everybody's hand.
There were a few coughs, but my favorite moment
of the whole thing is he's coming in and everybody wants to take a selfie with the man, and he's doing it. And at one point, the president of the United States, the old doddering man, took the phone from the woman, and he took the selfie. He said, let's move this thing along.
Man, let me get it.
I thought that was one of those hilarious.
That's good.
That was hilarious. On the old doddering, the mistake the Republicans made last night were they, as you just said, he could have rehearsed the speech. It could have been well prepared, and maybe that's just what it was. The mistake was they booed and shouted things, and that allowed him to improv things that were not in the speech. And you can't practice an improv.
Yeah, there was a lot of good. There was a lot of good interaction with the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, and he played it.
So let me ask you this: since both of you guys watched it,
we did.
I made a comment on the last hour when I was giving out the tickets and I had trivia questions involving presidents, and I made the comment that I didn't watch the State of the Union. My impression is when the State of the Union is in an election year, a presidential election year, that it becomes more a campaign speech disguised as a State of the Union. Did you get that feel last night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was no doubt about it. And I think that's exactly what it was planned to do. And I think that is why I have said for weeks and weeks and weeks, I don't think age should be the issue. Now, you can attack somebody's policies all day long, and you can attack somebody's record, but I think this age thing is a road to nowhere. I think you're making a big mistake.
I don't really know how they want to play the age. I mean, like, Donald Trump is younger than Joe Biden, but, like, Not by much. They're both...
Right, these are the two oldest people to ever run for office.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily good on their case either.
No, there's a mistake. And again, as Pastor Craig said earlier, because I want to be balanced here, I don't think the dictator thing is also a good play. I don't understand...
From either side.
Yeah, I don't understand age, and I don't understand dictator, because right. I think both of those are roads to nowhere, and you're hurting yourself, and there are better ways to handle this.
I agree.
So, that being said, Nikki Haley's out.
Yep.
That happened.
Yep.
And when she jumped out, how did you feel with her jump out?
I was just glad to see her get out.
She didn't swing her support.
No.
If she has any. She did win some states, I guess.
I would have been surprised if she would have endorsed Trump. I expected her not to endorse Trump. I don't think she probably ever will, unless maybe when it gets close to the election, she may endorse Trump for the sake of, you know, we need to beat Biden. But, there's no great love between those two.
Do want to mention, if anybody watched the State of the Union or heard the interview with Chase Oliver earlier or wants to give an opinion on anything, phone lines are always open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, Nikki Haley's an interesting person to me. I don't know if she'll ever endorse him, because I think it got too personal, although it got personal with other people and they ended up endorsing him in 2016. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Nikki Haley running against Donald Trump, honestly, once the Supreme Court ruled that they weren't allowed to ban Donald Trump from the court, she instantly knew it was game over for her. I don't think that she thought that after that point that she... I mean, it wasn't looking good for her before that, but then, you know, after it, it really wasn't her chance.
Well, the Supreme Court decision that you could not ban Donald Trump from the ballot in Colorado was the right decision to make, because had it not been that way, you could have banned anybody from any ballot in any state.
Right, exactly. I mean, it was the right ruling, and it was obvious when it was unanimous, 9-0.
You know what's interesting about it, though? I didn't hear anybody really complaining. I mean, it was an interesting case, because I didn't hear people going on the news that night saying that was the wrong decision.
Yeah. No, I didn't either. And, like I said, it was a unanimous decision, 9-0. And even though, you know, the, quote, liberals on the court wrote, you know, that they had a problem with, you know, this one aspect of it, or maybe this one aspect of it, but the overall thing, I mean, they were all in agreement on.
Well, that's what we were talking about last week, or either the week before, about presidential immunity. That's why I will be shocked if it's not 9-0, because
right.
Yes, you're giving that to Trump, but you'd be giving that to all presidents,
right.
And how can you do that?
It's going to be a tough one to defend if it isn't
9-0. Exactly. So the dissenting viewpoint in that, if it's not 9-0, I'd be interested to read.
Right.
Because that would signal partisan nature to me, but I think a lot of people feel the Supreme Court is partisan, although on that issue, they really weren't.
No, they weren't.
They were all together on it.
That's right.
So there's that. So I think this is what the presidential election is going to be. But you know what? I am really, the whole lesser of two evils thing, when did that become a thing? 2016? We choose these people.
It was before that. I can remember people saying that. Like, I think I remember people saying that back in the days when it was, you know, Bush and Al Gore.
Well, I remember that, but then it did, because there were people who genuinely wanted to vote for Obama. So I don't think those people felt lesser of two evils. And I don't think, in the Bush era, I think there was some of that. But I don't, why is every election that? We choose these people.
I don't know, but I just had a thought. I remember reading something a couple days ago about somebody used that as a campaign slogan, the lesser of two evils.
Lesser of two evils.
They were campaigning and vote for me, I'm the lesser of two evils.
Aren't you still voting for evil?
Oh yeah.
I mean, isn't that a problem?
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem.
I mean, I look at this Chase Oliver, when I was confused earlier in his answers, but I was confused a lot during that interview. When he's talking about third parties and why that's a good thing and so on and so forth, Is it? I don't know. I'm confused.
I think third parties are good in theory if they actually had the platform that the main two parties had. They're not invited to a lot of the to the debates and things like that. They also aren't. I don't know if there's like rules on it, but like they just. I don't know if they just don't fundraise the same way, or if they're not allowed to fundraise the same way. But I know that there are rules on like fundraising that they do. So like, there's a whole bunch of things like that that just don't. It's just not a level playing.
Yeah, but I always get the impression that if they were covered more by the press and we heard things like that, I think they would not get. I think they'd get less votes than they get anyway. I think they're just the de facto vote because we go lesser of two evils. Well, let's vote for this guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the fact that they don't get the press coverage that the other two parties get, it probably is to their advantage, because I think if they got the same amount of press coverage, we probably have a lot of people would say, wow.
Can you imagine that guy on the stage with Biden and Trump?
No.
I mean,
no.
I think that would be a train wreck galore.
Yes.
I mean, I think that if the third party candidates were allowed to go on the debates with all the other candidates there, that they would definitely receive more than I think the highest third party received 2% vote.
I'm telling you, if Ralph Nader from the Green Party was up there on the debate stage with everybody else, then instead of getting 2% of the vote, he would get 0.5% of the vote.
I think that's good then, because like, I mean, in that case, you like people will look like. Now you really do know that not a good candidate.
Right.
Or alternatively, turns out if a lot of people ended up liking him,
but
then...
But the ultimate... they can't... There's no rule that says they can't be on the debate stage. All there is a threshold set.
Right.
Because then anybody could be up there. You could have 17 people, and you're not going to know anything about anybody. You could get one question off.
You have one guy from American Samoa that everybody's going, who? What?
Can't do it. So, but they give you a threshold. It's not a high threshold either. It's something like 20% or 15%. You got to be polling that at the election to get up there, or at the debate time to get up there. So work on that. You have access in 50 states. You can't get 15%, especially if you got the two evils up there.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is like a lot of the time, just like there's this, I guess, narrative pushed that like, if you vote for a third party, it's a wasted vote because third parties aren't going to win anyways. But I think that there are genuinely so many people that believe that if they voted third party, it's a wasted vote, that if they actually voted third parties would get a substantial level of votes. But instead, they're constantly, like, if I vote for this dude, like, he's going to get, like, nothing. Like, what's the point in voting for that dude? My vote's going to go to waste.
Because third parties do throw off the elections. There are many elections in the last 30 years that would have had different outcomes. And we were talking about the most powerful person in the free world.
Ross Perot.
That were elected, and possibly Ralph Nader. It came down to one state that would have went another way but for that third party candidate. And they didn't have a chance to win, period.
I mean,
Perot did not win a state.
I mean, I just
Ralph
think
Nader
that
did not win a state.
Right.
They just siphon off a little bit of votes from one or the other. Mm-hmm. In Perot's case, it was a Republican. In Nader's case, it was a Democrat.
I think that third parties are overall a good thing, because I don't think that it's good to just, because like there are like people who I guess people who classify as independent like. Scott has said on the shows before that you're either one or the other. No, there's nobody who's not. But like, I mean, I would disagree. If you went through each of the issues, like you might line up more to one side than the other. But like, there are gonna be things that you just don't agree with that side. Whereas if there was multiple parties that didn't have so many block issues, like they just
yeah. But here's my contention on that. You agree 100% with Chase Oliver? 100% on everything?
I don't think I agree with 100% with anybody.
That wasn't my question. You agree 100% with Chase Oliver?
Well, I mean, no.
Because you're saying the reason you can't be one or the other, Republican or Democrat, which is what my contention is, even if you call yourself an independent, is because nobody agrees 100%. Well, no, they don't agree 100%, but you do particularly line up with one party more than the other. But that's the same thing with this guy.
If you add a wider base of potential, I guess... candidates, there's going to be more options to vote from. The issue is, like, obviously you're going to vote Republican or Democrat because those are the options. What else are you going to vote for?
But that's what I'm confused. What, you know how they feel about these things. What is most important to you?
What do you mean?
Like I said, this is where I have a problem with third parties. Because you know, just, whether you like it or not, this is the system. It's going to be one or the other. Now, what's important to you? Is abortion most important to you? Are taxes most important to you? Is capital punishment most important to you? You know that. That's your own decision in life. So which party lines up with you on the most important issue?
Yeah. And usually it's the most... to two or three most important issues.
And they do line up.
Yeah, and they do line up. And so you're going to gravitate toward that party,
right,
because of those top issues.
So why would you not want that person in who's going to go with those issues rather than vote for somebody who, again, maybe you agree with on that issue, but has no chance in the world of ever being there?
I mean, just a lot, like for instance, in this election, like, there have been loads of people who, like, it has been made abundantly clear to everybody that nobody wants this election to be a rematch.
They had their chance. They weren't the only two candidates in there. The Republicans, how many started in that race?
But you see, the thing is like,
eight of them.
It's like, the people who vote on these people do not pick the candidates that they put up. We just vote on the candidates that are put up.
You couldn't find one of the eight that you liked better?
But it's not us. They pick the candidate.
Who?
The party. The party puts up the candidate.
No, the candidate decides they're going to run.
Right.
Who did you want in there?
And
what Republican or Democrat did you want to run in a primary that did not run?
I think I would have. You know, I would have been okay if Hillary Clinton ran again. I was okay with that.
Okay, so Hillary Clinton. Now let's play this out. Hillary Clinton runs and is the Democratic nominee. You're not voting independent.
Probably not.
Case in point. You do line up with one of the major parties. You're just voting because I don't like the person.
No.
Because I guarantee you, you can go down and check Hillary Clinton's boxes right up with Joe Biden's boxes on how they feel about policy. And I guarantee you, Hillary will be out there campaigning for Biden.
Probably. But, like, in terms of the... I just don't like the two-party system. I don't think that it's the best option. I think that third parties are, if given the equal chance to, do whatever, campaign, vote, that kind of thing, if they had the backing, I think that it would be overall a better
system.
What is
the fervency about a third party? What is that? Do you get it, Pastor? I don't understand it.
No, it's a false sense of... It's a false belief that a third party can bring something new and fresh to the table because, you know, most people, I know where the Democrats stand, I know where the Republicans stand, and they want something different. What they want is their own personal candidate that's a hybrid of both. They want that candidate that they agree with 100%, but it's never going to happen.
Doesn't exist.
Doesn't happen. And what happens is you've got the two parties. A third party candidate can't be enough different from the other two to stand out. He's got to be similar in a lot of ways to one of the two. There's just no way you can be that different.
And that's why the two political parties don't like them, because they siphon votes off from them. And so it's not really a fair election in the end.
You know, like Robert F. Kennedy, okay? I think, you know, he would be the one that would siphon more votes off of Biden than from Trump. But yet, you know, like Perot, that really hurt Bush. So, you know, your third-party candidate is going to siphon votes off of somebody.
And they're not going to win.
But, right. A third party could also have align with things that are both Democratic views and Republican views.
That's fine, but they're not going to win, so it doesn't really matter.
They're not going to win because they don't have the backing.
you know what? If they really like those issues and they really think they go over so big with America, why don't they get just a party affiliation? That's all you got to do, and jump in that primary and see if those issues are that popular. You'll certainly get the attention.
Because I don't think that. I mean, that'd be like saying, "Oh, if you were a Republican who didn't like abortion, why don't you just, you know, just run as a Republican who doesn't like abortion?" Because it's not going to get you anywhere.
Well, that Republican who didn't like abortion was Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who ran as presidential candidate and did not win.
Yeah, who would have thunk it? That's why you just
But we know who Rudy Giuliani is. I don't know if the country knows who Chase Oliver is.
I think the majority, I mean, I don't know about the majority of people, but I think a lot of people now know Rudy Giuliani as Trump's lawyer.
Well, not then.
Yeah, not then.
And I don't think he is pro-choice now, but he was then.
Well, I don't think he's pro-choice now because, you know, didn't work out for him.
Well, I don't know, but all I can tell you is that he was, and he was thought to be the shoo-in for the Republican nomination that year because of being the mayor during 9/11, and it was right after that, and you know what? It didn't work out for him.
You know, it's really kind of interesting because more times than not, in the early stages, the person that we all think is going to be a shoo-in almost never does.
No.
Doesn't happen. I mean, look how many people thought Ron DeSantis was going to give Trump a real run for his money, and it could possibly be really close between DeSantis and Trump. It never happened.
It was Nikki Haley who was the last one standing there.
And I don't think hardly anybody guessed that one.
No.
I didn't guess that.
In the year where the thought of that race that year was going to be Hillary Clinton for the Democrats, Rudy Giuliani for the Republicans, turned out being Barack Obama for the Democrats and John McCain for the Republicans.
Well, 2016, early on, Ted Cruz was the front runner. Everybody was talking about Ted Cruz.
And Rubio.
And that's right.
Rubio was very popular.
Yes, he was.
And Bush, Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
The third in the dynasty.
Right.
Those were the people who were, one Donald Trump. And he certainly didn't line up with a lot of things the Republicans were saying at that point.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Donald Trump. So, I don't know. And certainly people did not think Bernie Sanders was going to give Hillary Clinton the run that he did. But he did. So, get in a party, the one you closestly align with, and jump on that stage.
You know, I was just thinking about something.
What's that?
I think back on 2016, there's a lot of similars between John Kasich and Nikki Haley.
Yeah, and what happened to old Mr. Kasich?
That's right.
We don't know where he ever ended up.
Nope, we don't.
He's somewhere today. We don't know where. But it's I don't know why you would ever want to run as a third party to have no chance, and you know it deep down in your heart, you got no chance.
Right.
So why wouldn't you get in a primary stage and do something? If you really believe your issues are so over with the voting public, why not do that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's... I can't think. I think it's like a...
You're just so shocked at this point.
Well, I had
by this conversation.
I mean, how long have the main two parties been in existence? When were they founded?
Well, Lincoln was the Republicans, and I believe the first real Democrat was probably Thomas Jefferson.
All right, so we got basically since the we got all the way back since the founding of America.
And what's interesting is then after Jefferson, I'm not sure when it was, but then there was a Democrat / Republican Party. That's what the party was called, and then there was the Republican Party.
And then the Whig Party died out.
Yeah, the Whig Party, because they were big.
Because I think Washington considered himself a Whig. Adams, I don't know if he ever self-identified as that, but probably more like, and I think Monroe was probably more of a Whig. But back then, the party affiliation was not a huge deal.
It was not a huge deal.
I think the fact that third parties exist now because more of the fact of just party politics. Like
because they all wore wigs.
Like,
by
like,
the
for,
way.
Like for instance, Chase.
It's the Whig Party. They all wore those white wigs.
Like for instance, Chase Oliver. Like his story. He became a libertarian because he was running as an anti-war Democrat, and then when Obama got in there, they just instantly were just supporting whatever Obama did. Like even though like.
So one person blew it for you.
I guess so.
I think these people just want attention.
But, like, it was more so because they hated on Bush for doing exactly what Obama did. And then Obama got in office and they were like, oh, well, I don't know what you mean. Like, this is incredible.
You know what? Third parties, to me, fall under the same category of the two parties are exactly the same. They're not.
I mean, they're different in principle, but I think overall they're the same.
I don't understand that quote. I have no idea.
They operate the same way. Different policies.
They fundraise the same way. They run the same way.
But
the policies are different,
yeah.
And that's what gets implemented by a president.
Right.
They don't fundraise as president. So there's big differences there. So I don't quite understand that phrasing. That is phraseology to me that comes from people who either don't want to vote and they try to justify why they're not voting, or they don't want to vote for either person because really what it is they just don't like the person.
You know, I mean, okay, so hold on. So let's say like it doesn't matter. There was a president, right? And now this president did something. And then obviously his party, good or bad, is going to either defend or say that this is the greatest thing that he's ever done ever.
Right.
And now switch the roles and then different opposite party.
Uh-huh.
He does basically the same exact thing, basically the same exact outcomes. And then the party whose president was, you know, just there, who did the same thing. They're like, oh, what is this guy doing? That's a waste of money, waste of time. Like,
that's hypocritical. That's not different policy.
That's politics.
Yeah, a lot of it is hypocritical.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue with the two-party system.
But that is not... Listen, there are things that everybody agrees on in this country, believe it or not. And one of those things, if you're talking about infrastructure, which is what the big thing was last night, no doubt in my mind, any president is going to want infrastructure because it puts people to work. It looks good. The country is better. A Republican president is going to be for infrastructure and a Democratic president is going to be for infrastructure. But is an opposite Congress going to vote for it? No, because that's politics, because it helps them along. It makes them look good.
I just don't understand it because...
They both want it, but
just
they're not,
do it then.
Well, no, because that the way we play this game is every 4 years you got to get more votes than the other guy.
It's like how during the State of the Union thing, Biden had said that they were talking about the border thing about how it was like a bipartisan bill, both parties had agreed to it, and then now all of a sudden the Republicans want to block it. You already agreed to it. What are you blocking? You already said that. Yeah, we agree with these terms.
That's politics.
Now all of a sudden you just don't like it anymore.
I don't think you want to help the guy get... But also, that's based in policy. You don't want that person elected because other policies they have don't line up with you at all.
I just...
Pastor, come on in.
If you go back 60 years ago, which would be about time of Kennedy, I think the major differences between Republicans and Democrats then... We're not near as stark the differences between the two parties now. I think back 60 years ago, in general, the parties agreed on a lot of the same things, and they had, you know, minor differences.
Oh, by the way, just so we get this in, because we've spent a lot of time talking about Mitch McConnell on this program, and, you know, I'm not sure who wins the argument now or who wins the bet, because... We still don't know if he's running again or not, but he's going to be around for about another 2 years.
He's going to be around
for
another
2 years.
So
he's not going anywhere in this condition that he's in, and he's not resigning.
His term is not up until 2026. So,
which comes again into... Now I'm really confused because...
What was the point in asking him why if he was going to run again?
Exactly. Well, why were we having the discussion of was he going to run again? As I said to you, I thought he was... up for
well,
his seat was up in 2024.
I didn't know when it was up. I know senators are 6 years, so they're longer right. than congressmen, but that whole original thing came about because of his freezing.
Right.
And what I said was, I don't think this man will walk away from power at this point, even though he is freezing. As best I can remember, Resignation was what I was thinking at that time. And then somebody said that he's not going to run again.
Yeah. And that was probably me who said that.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably did say that because I thought he was up for election.
Yeah. So he ain't resigning.
He ain't resigning.
And he's going to be there for two more years.
And he ain't running. And he's going to be there.
For two more years.
That's right.
In the condition he's in. Which really confuses me now, because we did the topic last week where he gave this whole speech about age and you got to know where to go.
Yeah.
Well, where are you going, Mitch?
Well, that's the thing. It's like he stepped down as the minority leader, but he's staying in the Senate. So it's like your train's at the station, but you've only got one foot off.
Yeah. You didn't know where the last stop was.
Right.
You stayed on for another couple go-arounds.
Yeah.
So now I'm totally confused by the man. But again, now this brings up an interesting point, though, for even Republicans who have said he's not going to run again because of the condition he's in. He's sticking around in that position for two more years, should he?
I don't know.
And there it is. I don't know. And, well, I mean, I pray the man is okay. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
And I don't know what's wrong with him, but I hope it, you know, you just want the man to be healthy. Who cares what his politics are? Let's get on a lighter note for the last 10 minutes here. You still on that third party kick?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. There you go. Okay. You got till November, first presidential election you all voted in. You know, we spent a lot of time, and the pastor couldn't get in on this one, but I thought it was interesting. The whole cougar conversation we were having earlier, you know, and again, if you just are tuning in, Anne Hathaway, a big Disney star and been in many other movies, a movie trailer that she's going to be in called The Idea of You dropped this week, and she plays a mother in her 40s who starts dating a famous musician in his 20s, and the internet got very divided over this, half of people calling her a cougar and disgusting, and the other people saying it's okay. So Matt and I have pretty well given our opinion on this. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, first of all, if both people are like each other and they're interested in each other, who cares the age difference? Okay,
right.
Now, when someone says cougar, what I think about is a woman who intentionally seeks out a much younger guy. Okay,
seeks out. Yeah.
That's what she's going after. It's not somebody that she just met and started liking. She's intentionally going out after them. That's a cougar. And my last question is, which you had posed, how many years difference does there have to be to fall into that cougar category?
Yeah. I mean, what's the gap?
What's the gap?
Because you're against it. Because you feel like every woman who would be your mother's age would be your mother.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's lost on me. I'm confused.
Well, you know, I got a sister that's 5 years older, and any woman that's five years older
than your sister. Yeah, I don't understand what you're saying. So, I mean, any adult in your life who's the same age or older than your mother are mother-father figures to you?
No, but they're in that age. But, like, it's different because, like, people who are my sister's age are also my age.
Okay.
And people who are my brother's age are also my age. They're just, you know, up a year, down a year kind of thing. So, like, in terms of my mom and dad,
Let's say. Listen, and I'm trying to be serious as the old say, serious as a heart attack here. Don't take this question as a weird question, because I'm trying to be serious on this subject. I'm trying to get through this because it's like a Freud thing you've got going on here. Okay, so if you found a 40-year-old woman that you liked and you kissed her, to you, that'd be like kissing your mother.
I don't know that I'd kiss a 40-year-old woman.
No, I'm just saying it happens. That's like kissing your mom because of her age.
I don't think I'd kiss her.
Because you think it's your mother?
It would be weird.
Confusing.
I don't know that I would get into a deep enough conversation with a 40-year-old woman to develop feelings with her.
Okay. That brings up an interesting point. So you're going to make sure that you don't develop liking some 40-year-old woman. You're just going to prevent that from happening.
I guess.
Okay. Because we prevent feelings.
Well, I thought it was so that I'm preventing feelings. It's not like, you know, they're there and I'm like, no.
How do you know?
I'm not going to go out of my way to talk to a 40-year-old woman.
How do you, is that what they say, hello, I'm 40? Who does that?
And so what, are you gonna end a conversation after 1 minute with a woman because she's old enough to be your mom? Are you going to say, okay, I can't talk to you for more than 1 minute? Because I don't want to develop feelings for you.
You know what the problem of all this is? It's like people on their birthday start going, you know, people start turning 40, 50, something. Man, you look 27. You look 25. I say, look under their eyes, and you'll find out how old they look. They don't look. But people get into that. If that were really true, if people really did look 24 and 27 when they were 40, whatever, then this would never be an issue. Because nobody would, when they were out in public, people would say, oh, we don't, who, how old are you? How old are you? Nobody does that.
We could go back to the day I was born, and this person in question would be my age.
Yeah, but who cares?
Me! That's strange!
What if you didn't know the age?
Well, I think there are definitely signs of the age.
Are there? What about all these people on Facebook? You look 27.
I think if you're using Facebook, you're probably over the age of 27. If you're regularly using Facebook, you're probably over the age of 27.
No, I'm saying the people who are making those comments. Is that disingenuous?
I guess.
Because they take it very like, aw, you know, thank you.
I think so. I mean, I think if you're going to... First off, I think complimenting somebody on a Facebook post is stupid, and I think you only did it for, I guess... public view, but like...
But how do you feel about people who are out for money? Because we've talked about this many times. Is that an okay reason to go into a relationship? Because they have money and that makes me feel better?
I wouldn't suggest it.
But that's okay. What if your mom's got money? Is it still like dating your mother?
I mean, I still wouldn't suggest it. I mean, it's like I said. Like for me personally, I don't know that I would date somebody who was 20 years older than I was, but... If I knew somebody who was going to date somebody who was 20 years older than them, I don't know that I would, like, go over there and, like, start yelling at him for it being weird or something. I mean, to each his own, just not my thing.
You know, I don't know what to say.
So, your dad's out of the picture.
Yeah.
Let's keep the same age different, but let's go the other way. What would you think if your mom started dating a 60-year-old guy?
We actually talked about this too. I think that's better.
It's better.
I don't understand that. It's same age difference.
Same age difference, but like, if you're 40, it's kind of like the thing I was describing earlier. If you're 40 years old, you probably have a house, and if you don't have a house, you live in a house by yourself. You have your own property. Like, a 20-year-old person might still live with their parents.
Why is that a deal breaker in a relationship? I don't understand what the deal break is there.
You're just at completely different points in your life.
Well, isn't everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I am the age that I am, and I don't have kids. Now, everybody I've ever dated that I can remember had kids. Now, clearly, we're at different points in our life. I don't remember that being a deal breaker.
I mean, like, a lot of people my age are probably still, like, I don't know. Like, there are a lot of people my age who still live with their parents. As a matter of fact, like, a lot of people I graduated with still live with their parents.
This is a problem.
Could be.
So, like...
Date him and get him out of the house. Get him living with the girlfriend or boyfriend.
No, that's a terrible decision.
Good help.
I think you should probably move out of the house first and become self-sufficient before you decide you're going to go get a girlfriend and move in with her.
I don't think that's an age issue. I think that's a maturity issue.
I mean, so like I said, I guess I think I brought that up earlier. Like, if you were a 20-year-old person who acted like a mature, like if you acted like a whole grown 40-year-old person, then that's a little different than like a stereotypical 20-year-old kid dating a stereotypical 40-year-old. Like, no.
Listen, I know some 40-year-olds who aren't very mature.
It wouldn't work out.
And there's some 40-year-olds living with their parents.
I know a few.
So then you can date a 20-year-old because you're on the same maturity level.
I think you'd have a better chance of making it work.
You got more things in common.
I think you'd have a better chance of making it work.
The only difference is your parents are 40, their parents are 80. So they're not going to get along very well. I don't know. I think the age thing is just ridiculous. I think I don't understand it. I have never thought.
Real life example. Jeff Dunham. I don't know how old he is now, but he released this special forever ago. And he was 60 something. And him and his wife had recently gotten married, and his wife was in her 30s. So there was a whole 30-year gap.
What do you think about? What do you think about that?
I mean, I think that he was. I think that he was a 30-year-old man when this woman was born.
So we're talking about socially. You can't. Is this the problem? Socially, you're not going to get along because of age.
I mean, like 30 years old is a big difference.
But is that what you're saying? I'm confused on where you're not going to see eye to eye. That's where I'm confused. What's going to be the... It's certainly not your age. You're not going to say, because the number's so this and the number's this. So where are you going to have the problem?
The taping... So you know the taping we do on Wednesdays and the post... So, like, that show... ideally it has four people.
Mm-hmm.
You... Because, you know, older male, older woman, younger woman. We got Carrington, you, and me. We're missing the older woman there. And it's designed like that because older, younger, and then, like, boy, girl, because we're going to have differing opinions based on age. That was how it was set up.
Yeah, I agree with that. But if you pay attention to the show, what you find out is that all three of us became friends and all three of us do agree on a lot of issues. And that's the hidden agenda in that show. The lesson we learn.
I mean...
You take four different people who could never... be a friendship because of ages and
I don't think
what happened.
Like, I think
look what happened. We were all spending Christmas Eve morning together.
You can be friends with...
Oh, I'm so tempted.
Go ahead with the pastor.
And Scott and Carrington went out on their first date.
We went out on our first date last
Saturday night.
And you know what? And I'll tell you something. Listen, that is a very good point to make on this thing because it was just her and I dressed up and we had to deal with each other. And I'll tell you what, there was no problem. And certainly our ages are not similar. You heard it. We had a great time together. And she would say the same thing and did say the same thing. So what is the problem?
You see, the difference is, I mean, I don't know how long you guys were there, but like...
Four and a half hours.
All right, 4.5 hours. So, I mean, 4.5 hours is a pretty good bit of time, but, you know, 4.5 hours is still a little different than a few years, you know?
They were supervised the whole time.
We were supervised the whole time. Because of her age. Somebody had to... We had to have a chaperone. And as I told you, we went in the same car. I mean, we were fine. There was no hint. I did not think at some point that, she's 20 years. Well, you know.
Careful, you almost told your age.
I about did there. She's 20. That's what I meant to say. You know, I never crossed my mind.
Right.
She's just a person.
A friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can be friends with somebody. I think you can be friends with somebody of just about any age.
Okay, so... What point are you making here? I don't think you're making a point.
You're
pulling an old Chase Oliver answer there.
I just don't like it, I guess.
And coincidentally, what did she say the other night on the television show, if people want to pay attention, about that?
Who?
Carrington. She had a good time. And if you ever want to do it again, I'm your girl.
Oh,
excuse me. We shouldn't... It should have been a train wreck. It should have been awful.
I mean, no.
There you go.
And she wasn't out with you.
That's
who would have been more similar. That would have been according to this study, that would have been the better connection.
Yes.
I mean,
any parting words on this one?
I don't think you should be dating somebody who's your mom's age.
Oh, Lord. What if your mom had you late in life and she's like 50, 60? You okay then?
I mean, that's... I mean, no. I see your question. Okay. I mean... No. Let me rephrase the statement then. If she's old enough to be your mom, you don't want to date her.
Your mom or anybody's mom?
Your mom specifically.
Oh, okay.
We'll ask this question again in 10 years.
That's right. See where your ship has sailed then. See where you've been. Well, we do want to mention Pastor Craig. What's going on next hour, Pastor Craig?
Part two of what I did 2 weeks ago when I was talking about Joseph.
Very nice. And Easter right around the corner as we're building up toward that. Do want to remind everybody, we will be at the Pancake Breakfast tomorrow, 11 a.m. till 12 p.m. Matt Carrington and I will be the guest servers, and Mary Ellen Withrow will be the guest greeter during that hour. And from 1 to 2, we will be on the stage with Mary Ellen having a great show. Thank the Marion Star for the nice article. Thank them a lot. Abby tonight will be calling in 8:15 to 10. I think she's calling in at 8:30 from the big event, big wrestling tournament champion event down in Columbus, which she's covering for us. And get your tickets if you want them. There you go. It's been a fun show.
I think all the shows are fun shows.
They're all, and you know what? Different ages here, but everything's fine. The world has not collapsed.
Not yet.
That's it yet. But we're all aging by the moment. For Matt Morgan, Pastor Greg, Scott Spears, for this hour, heading for the dugout. You've met Donald Trump.
Not only that, there was a very short time, a commercial, where I greeted him because he was the marshal some years ago of the Israeli Day Parade in New York City, where I, of course, participate every year. And there was a commercial that I greeted him. That's true. Not only that, he knows me.
Yes, absolutely.
But I don't get involved in politics.
No, not in politics. But as a human being,